Welcome, everyone, to I So Appreciate You, a raw, funny, and uniquely insightful podcast about the issues and opportunities we all face as values-based leaders and humans. I'm Nadege.
And I'm Melanie. We're colleagues at the St. Paul and Minnesota Foundation, and we're friends. When we get together, our conversations can go anywhere, especially when bringing a friend or two along for the ride.
So we're inviting you to join us and some incredible guests as we explore the challenges and triumphs of people shaking up our community for the better.
Hi, Mel.
Well, Nadege, hello.
I'm sorry. I'm so excited today for our episode because no one can tell yet because I haven't said it, but we're on the road.
We are. We're in New London.
I know. We're at the Little Theater Auditorium in New London because we are going to get to talk to Bethany Lactarine, who's the executive and artistic director of this theater.
Yes. Do you know that I've already been lost? I've already gone 3 miles in the wrong direction, even though we are in a smaller town with a main street.
I cannot believe that you are choosing to admit that.
Well, I mean, people... I'm sure are jealous of all of my many qualities. They might as well know.
I think that's hilarious. But it does add to our time here. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really cool to be sitting because we are sitting right now in a theater, stage in front of us, hardwood floors, high ceilings, just really beautiful to be in this sort of space in a, not in a city. It's just a very different experience. And I've been thinking about like, okay, where did art first come into my life? And I'm curious too, for you, where do you have early memories of the theater or were you in plays?
No. So I came to art via dance. Yeah. I don't remember when I started taking dance lessons, but I was a small human. I have a vague memory of a dance school production of Cinderella, and I was one of the, I don't remember what the level of my class was, but I got asked to like be a mouse also because like the kids who were just one notch littler than me needed like one kid who could follow directions and I was a good rule follower.
Yeah.
And so I also got to be like one of the mice or something. Aww. But yeah, so I came to art by way of dance. And I don't remember a time where like art wasn't a part of my life some way. There were piano lessons, dance lessons, going to the theater, going to see shows, you know, and then all the way until now where
they just can't get rid of me in the opera. No, they can't. No, they can't. Wow.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, you just mentioned being a mouse.
Do we have that in common?
No.
Oh, God.
We have being an animal in common. Because I was from a little town like this, and we, I think it was my junior year, was the first time we ever had theater. They introduced it. I tried out and I'm like, well, I'm obviously going to have the lead role. And it came back. They made me a barn animal. I was one of the barn animals. I'm like, I was so shocked. I'm like, my feelings were hurt. I'm like, I can't believe I didn't get the lead. I'm just a barn animal. But in a neighboring small town, they were having community theater. Yeah. And so the rebel in me is like, I'm going to go try out for that. And I got one of the main roles. It was a whole production that I was in with one other high school person and then adults and teachers. And so it was really an amazing experience that I would never, ever have had in my life had I not been a barn animal. So I...
What barn animal? What was the costume? I have so many questions.
I don't even remember the play because I was just so mortified that I didn't get a part. So I went off, but it was, but it was a great experience. And that was my exposure to theater and to like people that are in the community doing this. And so I'm just really happy to be here in a small town in a theater.
I love that. I love that. So should we get Bethany in here and get to it?
Let's do it.
All right.
At the St. Paul and Minnesota Foundation, we partner with hundreds of nonprofits to support their endowment funds. An endowment is a great way to provide your organization with a stable income for generations to come. If you are interested in learning more about starting an endowment, contact a member of our team by visiting spmcf.org/endowment.
Welcome back, everyone. We are here with Bethany Lactorine. Hi, Bethany.
Hi.
I'm so excited. I don't know if you can tell the giddiness in my voice. You probably can't, but anyway.
I can. Okay,
because we're on the road.
We are, road trip.
I know, and I'm so excited. First for our podcast. Mm-hmm. But before we dive into this conversation, I want to share a little bit about you with our listeners so they know how to just sort of join right in. All right.
Oh my God. Are you going to read my whole resume?
Yes.
Oh,
I hope so.
Yes. 100% word for word. Well, Bethany, you are the executive and artistic director of Little Theater Auditorium in New London, Minnesota. And Little Theater Auditorium is an arts-based, artist-led nonprofit organization working to amplify the storytelling of artists and culture bearers. I love that. Like, that's so great.
Very cool.
You are also a professional audio engineer and sound designer with over 20 years in the field, earning credits on feature films, documentaries, short films, television, radio. Like, you're a bona fide superstar.
I'm scared for you to listen to this now.
It's just because I didn't quit.
And no surprise after all of that, you are multi-talented. You're a performance artist, a community organizer, a media producer, and a musician. And we're so glad to have you here today.
I am so glad to have you here today.
Oh, yeah.
What a treat.
I love that.
Well, Bethany, the entire conversation is fun, but the way that we enter before we get to the serious questions is just three quick questions, sort of this or that. So I'd love your thoughts on this. You ready?
Okay.
All right. If you could visit any period in history, would you rather go into the future or back into the past?
Wow, that was not on my list.
You were ready for like red or white.
Yeah.
I would really love to visit the future.
Okay. Was that a hard answer? You sat with it for a second.
I was stalling.
Okay, good. All right, next. Treehouse in the forest or houseboat on the ocean?
Treehouse in the forest.
Ooh, that was definitive.
Yes, okay. Would you rather have the ability to speak all languages or play all instruments?
Oh, God. That's just not fair.
I'm really curious how you answer this.
Wow, because if you can speak all languages, you can do so much good. But if you could speak languages.
Okay, languages. Great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mel, which would you pick?
Oh, play all instruments.
Okay.
Probably because I can't sing or anything.
I think I'd probably go with the languages too. Although I really wish I could play the piano well, and I took piano lessons.
Yes,
I wish I could play it well enough to play it at parties to be like that guy that like, you know, there's a piano and you're like, hey, y'all want to sing? And then you just start playing and everybody, that's just a fantasy.
Life goals.
Yeah, life goals. All right. Well, Bethany, as you said, we are in your space today and I would love to just help bring the listeners with us. And so can you tell us about this space?
It felt so odd to hear you say my space, because I have, growing up in New London, where we are right now, Little Theater Auditorium was one of the first, well, was the first theater experience I ever had. And I had never thought of it as my space. Mm-hmm. It was being rented by the high school, the school system as their drama department. So it had this overall like shared community space kind of baked into it. And I think any person you talk to who has grown up in New London either has their name written downstairs in the green room with some years and a name of a production they were in, or has definitely been in this space. So we're a nonprofit, so I can't think of it as my space quite yet. I think of it as a place that folks are letting me take care of right now.
That's beautiful. So when we walked in, I have to say, being in a smaller town and coming in and seeing a tree with pride flags as a queer person, it's very comforting. And I know that a lot of what your programming is focused on is welcoming people who may have not always felt the safest in communities like this. So given that this theater has a long history, I'm just curious, has that always been part of the culture here, that conversations and movement in this space has been part of the history, or is that since you have been involved?
I love this building so much. Mm-hmm. And part of the answer is yes, but part of the answer is absolutely not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think because, as I mentioned, it was being rented and used by the high school, yeah. they were under a lot of constraints to make sure programming was a certain sure. way mm-hmm. and fell under certain kinds of criteria. You know, in what was it, 1997, the theater space became run by a nonprofit called Crow mm-hmm. River Players.
Oh, sure.
And continues to be run by that or maintained by that nonprofit, Crow River Players. And it was their job to maintain that criteria, so to speak, and open the space up to community as well. Mm-hmm. Where we are is a space, a place where 98% of the residents are of, I might be a little bit wrong, but Scandinavian descent, mm-hmm. first, second, third generation, mm-hmm. Mostly white people. I looked at the census and there's like 1% Asian, or like, actually it said 1% Asian. I think it's me. So as yeah. far as race goes, there wasn't a lot of opportunity for very many years mm-hmm. to intentionally open the space up to people of color. I was here. My brother was here.
Yeah.
I think most recently in the last 4.5 years since I've been here, we've been very intentional now about opening the space to people of all races, backgrounds, colors, to the LGBTQ community that is thriving in New London, Spicer, Wilmer, but didn't actually have a place that was doing that, intentionally saying, hey, here is a place where you can come and feel comfortable and yeah. be yourself and get on stage and represent your true whole self without yeah. Fear of ridicule, fear of ostracization, fear of harm, or fear of harm. For better or worse, sometimes it's great.
Yeah.
And sometimes the community is a little bit uncomfortable with that. Mm. And I do think because of the long history of this space not being that specifically, I have a sense that there are a lot of folks who might feel the space is being taken from them.
Oh, that's, that's a really powerful thing that you've just named, because it sounds like the space has evolved, as all things do. But maybe very intentionally in the recent past. What is it? You talked about creating a space that, folks can feel at home, but then others might be feeling like it was taken from them. Like, how does that manifest itself? How do you receive that here?
Where to begin? It's been a bit of a journey. Mm-hmm. For me personally, for the theater, as well. A few years back, we started a artist in residency program where we invited artists all over Minnesota to apply to stay here for a month and make a show or make a performance. Mm-hmm. Our second year, we selected Dominic Fascio from Fergus Falls to come here and have a drag show and to open up that process of how do you make this kind of production to the general public. And we specifically said, hey, you know what? I personally know people in the school system who are questioning, who don't quite understand what those pronouns are about, who just want to know but don't know who to ask or are afraid to mm-hmm. ask. Dom, you've had this, experience growing up, would you be willing to do a Q&A? Would you be willing to talk about that with people who are willing mm-hmm. and wanting to ask questions? And they opened it up for that kind of Q&A, kind of an ask me anything yeah. forum. And we devised a separate show specifically geared for kids who were in high school on up. And that was just a little bit much for some people.
Oh.
It raised some eyebrows, to say the least. And for a good year and a half, we went through some stuff.
Really?
We did. We had a protest, which was fun and interesting. Really weird. Not the kind of protest I'm used to seeing.
Oh, okay.
It was very peaceful. There was no sense of any kind of violence. And I might be skipping ahead a little bit in that progression. But it was a prayer group. But what's funny is, in a small town, by and large, the majority of people here go to a church, belong to a church, and they know the people. Everyone knows each other. Mm-hmm. And there were instances where there were also counter protesters. And it was just right outside of the doors. And people brought their dogs. And the dogs know each other.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
So, you know, dogs are entering the prayer circle and counter-protester dogs, and protester dogs are saying hi. So inevitably, they're going to have to say hi. Mm-hmm. And it turned into a little bit of small talk in the middle of a protest. And it was the cutest thing.
Wow. This is a play.
Right.
I mean, there's a whole story here. Yes. This is...
But it was also, in a lot of ways, a little bit heartbreaking, because there were a number of... young people who approached the theater but turned away.
Oh.
And that sucks. That is not okay. Mm. We did a lot of other outreach. Dominic was invited to Dream Academy. He was invited to Ridgewater. Mm-hmm. So there were other opportunities that came from that. A local production company, 1017 Media, came and live streamed it for us for free, which was amazing.
Oh, lovely.
Really, really wonderful of them to do that.
Thank you for sharing the discomfort, because I think that progress can't be made in particular places without that. You mentioned Fergus. I grew up going to Otter Tail, Battle Lake, still have family, still have roots there. And so a lot of what I'm hearing from you is familiar. And I want to pick at maybe the conversations, people leaning into the discomfort, at least what I've noticed sitting in the small town bars, there are people who are curious, and they will, if you talk, you might be on opposing sides, you start to have those conversations and you see some growth. And I'm sure that people coming into this space willing to have those conversations, even being at the protest and their dogs run into each other and they have to confront each other, or sitting here watching a performance, there's change happening or consideration. I'm wondering if you could talk about any growth you've seen in terms of people considering things that might be uncomfortable, but they're willing to sort of lean into it and explore change. Or is that not happening?
I think that, yes, it is happening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't identify as a queer person, so I don't have that story.
Or around race, or all of the things that small towns, you know,
yeah,
maybe don't talk enough about.
I think in general, everybody became more vocal.
Oh,
interesting.
I think if we were to run the numbers at City Hall, when a group of people aggressively attempted to shut down the show by changing ordinance, we had a record number of turnout.
Wow.
And people were very vocal.
Mm-hmm.
And that their sentiments made their way to the local newspaper. Mm-hmm. It made its way to posters and signs on my door, to social media.
Wow.
To kids being teased or taunted at school. So, I mean, yes, there are both sides. Okay. People who felt empowered to come out as their true selves,
mm-hmm.
and people who felt more empowered to say, oh, no, you don't.
Yep.
You know, I think when people think, oh, I'm an artist, there is a very urban like connotation that, you know, I've got to go to the big city, yes, to you know, be an artist, to do their, you know, the dream of New York and LA and all of that. And you came back here. Can you talk about being an artist here in New London and why it's important to you to be here as an artist, as opposed to anywhere else you could be?
I had a million thoughts all at once. When I came back, it wasn't because I was ready to come back. Mm. My mother had cancer, so I had to take care of her and make sure that she exited this world in a more comfortable way than without me here. And I came this close to selling the house and leaving, but I couldn't do it. Just could not do it. So I am so thankful and so lucky to have the artist brain that I do, because I don't know if I would have been able to make that transition without it. As a person who did audio engineering, it was a very technical job. Sometimes I would be able to be a little creative about it, but you know, you make TV commercials and that's it. This is what you do. Mm-hmm. But in general, out here, I could use those tools to make other things.
Right.
And I spent a lot of time out in the prairie where I grew up, exercising those skills, field recordings of the wind, yeah, for instance, things I wanted to do for years, but just didn't have the chance to, recording myself telling the stories that my mom told me, and those made their way into a performance piece, that we called My Ocean. It was the story of growing up on the prairie. A lot of the things that my, stories my mom would tell me, like Norwegian folk tales, and some of the legends and prayers brought to us by Thomas LeBlanc, a Dakota elder, who visited the prairie for him the first time ever coming out to the countryside. So it was this experience that led me to believe, as an adopted Korean, once, and I'm going a little bit off the track here, but... once both my adopted parents passed, I really struggled with, well, what holds me here? Mm. How am I connected to this place? Even though in my heart of hearts, I knew I was connected. I couldn't fathom being anywhere else, but what was that? And in the end, it became the land. It had to be, because my adopted mother's mother lived there, or aunt lived there, and her grandmother lived there and ran this store since 1868. And the land had never changed. And here I am sitting in the same place. We shared that memory of that place. So light bulbs went off and I said, well, of course I'm here because this is home, no matter what anyone says. And I have all of these things I want to express and skills that I can use. So when the theater opened up and they needed someone to do something, was pretty obvious that I would try. It became obvious to me anyway. I'm going to give it a shot.
I love that.
Oh, I just have to say, I saw a clip of My Ocean this morning as I was just beautiful, and seeing the audio strike that.
Nope, we're leaving
listening
that
we're leaving as I'm watching, having grown up on the prairie and thinking about like Lake Agassiz, like I've connected a lot in my writing, so I really appreciated that. I wanted to just pick a little bit keep going with what Nadezh was asking, because people do assume you're in a city, you have all these resources, but what you're talking about is, and I think it's growing up a small town, you kind of do everything. You're like, even though I sucked, I was in choir, you know, I can't sing. So I'm curious, like, what do you think that you can do here that you might not be able to do in a city, just in terms of the resources that are available to you or the different resources?
I lived in Minneapolis for 10 years. I love Minneapolis. It gave me the skills that I have today, but it is insanely saturated. There is no way I would ever be able to run a theater in Minneapolis. There's no way that I would be able to exercise the things I'm able to exercise and the practice I'm able to practice in Minneapolis, because I have access right here in this room, and I have an audience. So resources, we have different access,
yes,
but we have, in a lot of ways, more access to try things and less constraints mm-hmm. in other ways. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing that holds us back here is fear.
I mean, I would say fear holds folks back everywhere. It just manifests different, right?
You're right.
You know, I'm just thinking, and maybe along the lines of fear, because I'm thinking about our world now, and I'm one of those people who thinks like art is an intrinsic and important and critical life value. Yes. And I'd love to hear you talk about with your experience in art sort of generally, and even here in this place, like, why is art so important right now in this world where it's easy to talk past each other? It's easy to sort of look the other way, and, you know, not hear or see what's right in front of you.
I think when I moved back to town, or moving into a new place in general, as a newcomer or a homecomer, there's not a lot of opportunity to meet other people. Or if you've been here all your life, people only know you as one way, in one way, or you have a certain role that people are used to seeing you in as a coworker or a teacher or whatever that role is that you play on an everyday basis. What we try to offer the theater are art opportunities, art activities, art experiences that allow you to interact and make something with your neighbors, people from town. So you're experiencing like this new thing. You're seeing another side of your neighbor that you wouldn't be able to see otherwise. You're having a chance to talk to people you would never otherwise even see on a day-to-day in a place and a setting where the playing field is leveled. Mm-hmm. You're both learning something. Like our puppet parade we had last fall. There were people here from Minneapolis, people here from New London, Spicer, Wilmer, all the surrounding townships, so many people who I had never seen before. Most people didn't really know what we were doing, which was wonderful and perfect. And then you had all of this cardboard and some really fun ideas and some skilled puppet artists saying, we're going to make a bunch of Brussels sprouts out of cardboard. None of us have ever done this, but we're gonna. And so, you know, there's a lot of humor mixed in with that experience. So the floor is open, the room is open. We can try all this together and witness each other learning something new and then succeeding at it and then showing everybody else. Like this kind of experience, this shared memory is, I think, the reason to have art be part of every single day of your life.
I really want to build a Brussels sprout now. I'm not kidding. But what you're talking about is community building. I mean, you're watching people come together in a particular way over art and interact with each other. And I'm curious, what do you think is the difference with communities that do embrace the art versus those who don't? Because this is a very unique and exciting place in a town that might not otherwise have it. There wasn't an investment from you and other community members. In other words, does it make a difference? I think of course it does.
Yeah, I think it makes a really big difference. Isolation is the mind killer.
Yes, that's a great, I'm glad you named that.
And in a rural area where we're all in our own islands, sometimes it can be so intense. And so easy to fall into, I'm all alone and there is no breaking out of it. And now I've forgotten the question.
That's okay.
But,
Well, let me ask you another one, if you don't mind me jumping in. Because we're talking, what you talked about earlier, and I think I would say maybe most of our listeners are maybe city-based or metro-based, and there's a lot of stereotypes about everyone and every in places, but rural areas come with connotations. And for me, you've sort of affirmed some, like the fact that they're protesting, you know, someone coming to talk about LGBTQ plus issues. So I'm curious, what do you think are misunderstood notions about people from rural areas that people may not know?
I think a lot of folks have an idea that people from rural areas aren't as smart, haven't gotten the education that you might get if you were living in an urban area, that you're not as exposed to a lot of different cultures.
And it's changing rapidly right now, too. Rural areas are becoming much more diverse, and people don't realize that. So I appreciate that, too.
Right. I definitely believe that when I told friends I was moving out here, they said, how are you going to be able to live like that? You're not going to have your Trader Joe's.
And, right, yeah.
and to an extent, some things are like products are harder to get without extreme measures or exorbitant shipping fees. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what I've found is we're extremely well-educated. People in rural areas, extremely well-educated and educated in the things that we need to be educated in to be out here. Folks out here know about the land. Mm-hmm. They know so much about how it works and what the soil can and cannot do and what the chemicals that are being put in the ground are going to end up resulting in. So very, very tangibly aware.
Yeah.
We're closer to how we make our food. So when I go into an urban area, that's the disconnect I see is we're not feeling that closeness to the land. And when I talk to friends that I made in Minneapolis and I bring them out here, within 10 minutes of walking on the prairie, they're talking about God and it hits them so hard.
Yeah.
And they have this major existential experience seeing the stars.
Yeah.
And when you have that closeness, I think a lot of things fall into place intellectually, like the systems make sense. This is how things actually work because you can see it every season. Mm-hmm. There's no book learning in that.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. Beautiful.
I mean, I feel like we could sit here
forever.
Forever, especially because, you know, we could get some coffee. Just definitely sit here forever. But, you know, I'd love to wrap with the concept of joy. This space, you know, as narrow as the theater that we're sitting in or bigger, you know, as New London, share with our listeners something that brings you joy in this place.
We see a lot of rural towns, as we drive by that look, a little bit empty, not as much activity. But what you don't see is behind those doors are people like myself who have come home, who are in those spaces, rebuilding and having really great new ideas about how to use these spaces, how to open them back up. In New London, we have an apothecary opening up. We have a food co-op right down the street that's just coming now in March. We have a new real estate office or company right across the street opening up. Things are growing, and you wouldn't expect to be able to say that, but things are happening. That brings me a lot of joy and a lot of hope. It also brings a little bit of we got to get it right this time feeling. Mm. But also knowing that the people who are doing this are also feeling that.
Yeah.
So that brings me hope and joy.
Bethany, this has been so, so lovely.
Yes, thank you for welcoming us in your space.
I'm so glad you could come out. Yes, it's such a perfect day.
It's great.
Thank you.
Nadege, our first road trip.
I know.
And like, we really got into it, like deep conversation.
I honestly think it's a little bit of the place. Like, I don't know that we would have the same conversation, you know, in our offices or in a studio.
No, sitting here and being, I mean, we're just having lunch in the cafe on the main, walk down the main street. And so hearing these stories, we're surrounded by the people that are experiencing some beauty, some conflict. And I think it's really important to be here and name that this is going on everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And really understanding the narrative of a place, the story of a place,
yes,
like tells you so very much,
yes,
about the people, about what's happening, and about what you might be able to imagine could happen in the future.
That's true too. Yes. And I love how she talked about the land. You can imagine,
yes,
that was really important to me.
Super connected there.
Yes. Because the land was such a big part of my growing up. And I think it shaped me and shaped the people. And to just hear from her that, you know, she's here and the people here are truly tuned into the land and paying attention to what's going on with it. That's really, was really cool to hear.
Yeah.
So can we come back for a play?
Sure.
Experience.
I was going to tell listeners, like, they should come too.
Oh,
right.
Yes. We will have to put what's coming up on our website.
Auditorium in New London. Like, if you haven't been, I'm just like, I could sit here all afternoon. I love this space.
Aren't we? Aren't we gonna? All right. Well,
this is a great episode.
It's good time.
Thank you for listening to I So Appreciate You. You can find us on Facebook at I So Appreciate You Podcast and on Instagram at So Appreciate You.
We'd also appreciate you taking a moment to write us a review. And if you like our show, be sure to follow I So Appreciate You on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you're listening to us right now.
Have a question or topic suggestion? Email us at podcast@spmcf.org. Thank you for listening to I So Appreciate You.